The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Super. Thank you, Wells family. I appreciate that. And so we're trying to get something together. And of course, I've been on the road a little bit. We've not really been able to put it together. And so we have harnessed Debbie, and she'll be coming in, and Mindy and Heather and I are going to, we're all going to dive in and make a Wells family singing group. And so they're going to let me lip sing. So it's going to be real good. Appreciate that. And so I know when I get up to sing, Brother Jonathan or Brother Josh or Brother Jared's going to look up. He's going to tell Brother Mason, kill the mic, kill the mic. And that way nobody can hear me hit the off notes. And so, but it'll be fun. We'll have a good time with it. And nothing like serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing like it. Nothing like going soul winning. Nothing like being a part of an independent Baptist church. Nothing like giving to support the souls of men. Nothing like old-fashioned Bible preaching. There's just nothing like it. I cannot begin to tell you how many people came up when we were in the Philippines and they said, man, we listen to you every Monday. Now, they have the live stream over there, and of course, theirs is on Monday. Our church, of course, is on Sunday. Theirs a day later, and they said, man, we get to go to church on Sunday, and we always get two sermons on Monday. And so I'm excited about that, and so no telling how many type of homes we're in at this very moment over in the Philippines and stuff like that. So please send your pesos to Parkside Baptist Church. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 9, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for if ye remember, brother, now what he's trying to do is he's trying to stir up the remembrance. And he says, if ye remember, brethren, it says, our labor and travail. It says, for laboring night and day. Now, can I take a few minutes and just boast on those that labor here night and day? You know, God has given us a tremendous staff. God's given us tremendous faculty, and they labor night and day, many of them. You know, I'll come up sometimes in the evening time. I see an office light on, and they're just laboring still. I see people that go out soul winning, and they stay out forever. And what are they doing? Laboring. I see people that come to the altar, and they pray before the church service. Laboring. I see people that come every church service. They'll kneel at an altar, and they'll pray for loved ones that need to be saved. They'll pray and ask God to bless the work here and other places. What is that? Laboring. He said, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. It says, for laboring night and day. The Bible says, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God, all right? And, you know, I want to speak to you tonight on birthing of the ministry, the birthing of the ministry. And we're going to study this tonight. The word travail simply means this. It means a painful, laborious effort. That's what it means. It means a painful, laborious effort. One day, of course, this dear mother is getting ready to have a child, and oh, her husband was so frantic. He's running back and forth, and you know, he just is not in his right mind, and just didn't know what to do. And so all of a sudden she says, it's time. And he says, oh, let me call the hospital. So he gets on the hospital. The nurse answered and said, is this your first child? He said, no, I'm the husband. I got three laughs out of that one. Thank you very much. You're encouraging my heart, let me tell you. Laboring, what does it mean? Well, we understand this, you know, of course, I've had the privilege to be your pastor for 7 years up and coming, I think next Sunday, and we've labored together. We understand as a church what it is to sacrifice. We understand the Bible does not teach equal giving, it teaches equal sacrifice. And we understand that. We also understand that God has blessed our work, laboring, if you will, conveying that which is pain or something that is an agonizing thing. You know, when I became pastor many years ago, I said that we're not going to erase anything. We're just going to add, you remember the word? Addendums. That's what we said. We're just going to add some addendums. So over the past 7 years, here's how we've labored. We designed a couple of new colorful tracks. What is that? That's travailing that's laboring. We began adult discipleship programs where people can come and be grounded in the Word of God so that they're no more like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What is that? That's travailing. We began a committed couple Sunday school class. What is that? And by the way, whenever you start a class, can I tell you that it's travailing? You walk in and you think, especially if it's a children's class that's in our bus ministry, B or C, you walk in and you might think, well, I'm going to preach to a bunch of angels. Then you find out there's some demons in the midst, you know? And what happens is there's that travailing. There is that travailing, you know? We've labored in areas like that. We started, of course, a publications office many years ago. As you walk down the hallway towards the nursery, there wasn't an office. There was just an open area. If you remember, for those that's been here a long time, had like a couch, some chairs or whatnot. We labored and we built an office there that's a publication center. You know, there's been laboring things that's been going on. A new website, they say in 2000 from the media office. In 2016, there was 100,000 people that visited the website. There was 35,000 sermons that were listened to. There was 3,400 apps that were downloaded. Never would have happened had there not been a website that was able to do that. There was labor that went into such building. Building the church office for the secretary, you remember that? When you walk down the hallway, there was no church office there, but we put a church office there. What is that for the secretary? That was laborious. A new roof. I remember when I first came to Parkside Baptist Church, there was about three areas, maybe four. I'm not really sure, but I know at least three that we'd set buckets out when it rained. You know, and that's where we got our baptistry water from, and we put it in the baptistry. And so, but God gave us a roof, and there was labor and intensity that went into that. Designing and adding the children's Bible Blazers. You know, Brother Jonathan wrote the program, Bible Blazers, and then we added the Bible Blazers to be able to be something that we could use in our local church, and it's still being run today. Beginning the Calvary Couples Sunday School class, there was labor there, and it still goes today. The putting down of new carpet in the hallways and Sunday school classrooms, labor there. Added Lone Star Baptist College student mailboxes, there was labor that was involved there. Beginning a deaf Sunday school class, there was labor that was there. Travailing, remodeling the hallways, travailing. Beginning the Berean Sunday School class, travailing. Beginning the Champion Scholarship Program for bus kids that would be able to go to Parkside Baptist Academy, that is travailing. Beginning a ladies' joy soul-winning time, that was laboring. Adding the girls' volleyball. Man, when I first came, the girls, can we? And I said, yes, we can. And I remember all of a sudden they're jumping up and down, clapping, getting excited about it. It almost looked like they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And but just excited about stuff like that. You know, we train and we send out a tour group, and our tour group has done a tremendous job, you know. And Miss Baldiva is doing a fantastic job in training them and singing and stuff like that. And they travel and they go to churches. I remember seeing pictures of them up in Coldwater, Mississippi, and the pastor needed his gymnasium type building painted, and here they are singing that week and painting from early in the morning till late at night and just giving the place a facelift. Hey, by the way, that's called travailing, is what that's called. Remodeling the hallways, I think I already covered that. Being able to, be somebody that, remodeling the front lobby out there. Being able to make it brighter, more welcoming, if you will, please. Beginning the B-bus route that we began, another B-bus route. What is that? That's labor. By the way, there's nothing like working a bus ministry. Nothing like working a bus ministry. You get to know people, you get to love people, you get to lead people to Christ. One of the greatest places to train as an upcoming pastor is working on a bus route. Why? Because you're going to pastor people one day. You got to talk to them about Christ. You got to talk to them about baptism. You got to talk to them about baby dedications. You got to counsel them, help them, guide them, love them, preach to them, teach them, show them what's right, show them what's wrong, and help them every step of the way. Remodeling the front bathrooms, there was labor there. Beginning the first night bus, there was labor there. I remember Miss Penny coming to me, and she'd say, "Preacher, I've got a burden for these girls and for some young people that she was trying to reach." I remember it. And I said, "Penny, we don't have any money for extra gas in the budget." And she said, "Okay." And then she started borrowing vehicles, did it for over a year. Yeah. Borrowing vehicles and just saying, "Hey, can you pick so-and-so up? Can you pick so-and-so up? Can you pick so-and-so up?" And finally, when it went around to the next time of voting in the budget, we found some extra money and said, "Hey, we got enough money for you to be able to run the van." And then it went from the van to a bus from time to time. But what was that? That was a labor of love. Now, of course, Brother and Mrs. Young, Travis and Jay Cherie, picking up some young people and paying out of their own pocket. Now, what is that? That's a labor of love. That's called travail. I remember, of course, remodeling the bookstore lobby area and putting down that laminate like it's up here and making sure it looks sharp and stuff like that. That is travailing. Beginning another B bus route, that's travailing. Remodeling the church auditorium, that's travailing. Adding the Heritage Cafe where some of you older men go and just hang out for hours. That's travailing. Building, if you will, that which is an app that you could take and download different things, and you're able to go on there and tithe, or you're able to go on there and record people that you led to Christ, and immediately it goes into the soul winning office. You're able to listen to sermons on there, watch videos on there. What is that? That's travailing. Remodeling the youth center, finally done after about 2 years. And teenagers travailing. Youth workers travailing, coming up and raising all the money themselves. Hey, that's amazing. And just travailing. Remodeling the church kitchen. Now it's an industrial church kitchen. Would pass any codes that's out there. Travailing. Beginning the Gems and Jewels ministry for those that are special needed young people. That's called travailing. Beginning another A bus route. First A bus route we've ever had. That's called travailing. Splitting our junior choir, if you will, and adding a primary choir. And then, of course, having the junior choir. Now two different choirs because it's grown so much. That's called travailing. Adopting now the America for Christ Ministries underneath Brother Walters. That's called travailing. Beginning a brand new C ministry. That's called travailing. Okay, adding bus routes to that C ministry called travailing. Adding the Rose Ladies Soul Winning Club on Saturday mornings called travailing. Adding live stream as we are right now in many homes across America and around the world. That's called travailing. Remodeling the old college building so it would be student residence. That's called travailing. Building a college library called travailing. Having a presidential VIP club to advance the cause of Christ through the Bible College. That's called travailing. Adding the pastor's prayer teams. That's called travailing. Painting our first bus. Yeah, it's called travailing. Remodeling the gym bathrooms called travailing. Remodeling the gym entrance called travailing. Remodeling the RU room and the Sunday school room called travailing. Putting in the new stairwell over there that's being done right now, heading up to the secondary floor, that's called travailing. Beginning to repaint the gym, that's called travailing. Remodeling the first Sunday school as you go there in the gym, the RU room and whatnot, that's called travailing. Now, wait a minute, we're all going to travail. We're all going to travail. Whenever you decide to do something for Christ, it's travailing. You know, we come back, we flew 22 hours yesterday to come in, and can I tell you, sitting in a plane seat for 14 hours that's narrow, that's not made for an American body, and you're sitting there, and the cushion is not cushiony. And you're sitting there, and you think, man, I told Brother Walters, I said, must be getting old. I just had to get up over and over again, just walk around. I'd sit there. All of a sudden, I'd get stiff. and I just have to get up and walk. You say, what is that, preacher? That's called travailing is what that's called, okay? There's many different forms, many different types of travailing. I don't know if you ever done this. You prayed all night with someone. You ever done that? And you pray all night. You go to an office or whatever, and you're in there. I remember times of praying all night. When you pray all night, man, it's just like the devil wants to rock you to sleep. But yet you travail. You just travail. I remember going many times on soul winning marathons where you go out and you say, okay, today we're going to eat breakfast. After breakfast, we're just going to hit the street. We'll go from about 8 o'clock soul winning to about 12. We'll take lunch. We're going to come back, hit the street again. We'll go soul winning until 5 o'clock. We come in, eat supper together, have testimony, see what God did. That's called travailing, okay? Can I tell you, you travail in the Lord. When I prepare a sermon, it's not easy. My wife would tell you, I labor. I travail over sermons. I don't want to get up and just preach something that's just a candy stick, if you will. I want to be able to give you something that's going to help, something's going to challenge your heart, something's going to make you think, something that's going to motivate you, stimulate you, inspire you, help you to have a desire to draw closer to God and be obedient to Bible truth. Now, in order to do that, there's got to be that which is travailing. So statement number one, there's before the travailing, you have to think about what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to plan this? You know, you just don't decide, oh, let's just remodel the auditorium and well, I hope it turns out all right. Yeah, there's a lot of travailing that goes into that. There's a lot of thinking, a lot of praying, a lot of activity that goes into something like that. With the bus route, you got to map it out, think about it, decide where you're going to go, how many doors you're going to knock on, what streets you're going to hit, staying within a certain zone so that you don't run over somebody else's bus route. You got to recruit workers. You've got to keep your workers motivated, excited about serving Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's travailing. It's travailing. Those that are Sunday school teachers, though you have a nice book to be able to go by that we put out for our Sunday school teachers, can I tell you, if you're going to teach a Sunday school lesson right, you're going to have to travail. Those that have friendships, can I tell you, you're going to have to travail. And all these things have to be thought of beforehand. So when you travail, you're thinking of things ahead of time. You know, before you can do something, first you have to capture it inside of the heart, and you just decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to capture it inside the heart, then I'm going to step out, then I'm going to try to obey God, then I'm going to try to go forward. But if you don't have a vision for it, it will never come to pass. So there's got to be that which is before travailing. Let me show you this. Look at John chapter 16, look at verse 21. John chapter 16 and verse 21. The Bible says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. You know, most of the time, while you're travailing, you know, all those things we talked about took planning, but while you're travailing, boy, you come across things that you didn't think you'd come across before while you're travailing. Some of you got married and said, man, it's going to be heaven on earth. Now, I married the one that was perfect. And after about 2 hours of marriage, you found out they weren't. Now, what do? You travail a little bit in your marriage. Hello? Child rearing. You say, I'm going to have the perfect child. Then when they were born, they cried all night. You woke your wife up and said, your kid is crying. What is that called? That's called travailing. You know, you travail while you are serving. The Bible says a woman here, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. The Bible says because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivered the child, watch it. As soon as she delivered of that child, the Bible says she remembered no more the anguish. So here she is, she's travailing the whole time, like a Sunday school teacher, travailing the whole time. All of a sudden, wow, got the lesson done, taught the class, can walk away, rejoice, not travailing anymore. You don't even remember the pain of studying. You don't remember the pain of getting up and teaching and it not going like you want it to go. All right? And so there is that time while you're travailing and child rearing. You know, it's while we're travailing that makes the big difference in child rearing. You don't give up on a child just because a child's given up on you. You stand beside the child. You love the child. You help the child. You encourage the child. You know, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's waiting, there's laborious times as the travailing goes on. Because once it's over and they're grown, hopefully you'll be able to look back and there's no more sorrow. You can look back as that which is a parent said, I did my best. I gave them as many Bible principles, pointed them to God, did everything I possibly could, did my best. And if you did your best, you don't have to hang your head in shame because you did everything that you were supposed to do. The Bible says she remembered no more the anguish. It says, for joy that the man is born into this world. I remember Mrs. Wells, my dear wife Sylvia. I remember that I was a Bible teacher at Hattiesburg, Mississippi, there on staff. And one of the things that Dr. Williams, my pastor, asked me to do is to teach Bible in the academy. And I said, yes, sir, I'll be glad to do that. And so I taught Bible in the academy, and my wife was at the hospital, and I was up there right beside her side, and the doctor came in, and he said, you know, if you want to, I've been up all night with her, and we've been spending time together and stuff, and he said, if you want to, you can take a break, and everything's going to be fine. You can come back later. I said, are you sure? He said, oh, I'm sure. So I did the dumb thing. I went up to the school to check on the Bible class, and by the time I got back to the hospital, Jonathan was born. I missed it. Then all of a sudden, Joshua came along. I'd stayed up. I held her hand, and I was so excited. And we were in the room together, and we stayed together, and I thought, I am not going to leave this. Doctor came in, and he said, hey, look, it's going to be a little while. If you want to go downstairs, get a cup of coffee. You come back, you'll have plenty of time. Great. Went down, got a cup of coffee, came back, and there was Joshua. I thought, this is not working too well. You know, then I was able to be there, I believe, for Jared. And, of course, Rebecca was born in Tennessee and was able to be there. You know, and man, it's neat. It's neat to be there when you see God doing what God does. And can I tell you, it's neat to be there to see God doing what God does in a Sunday school class, right, on a bus route, right, in the choir. There's nothing like being in the place where you can see God all of a sudden reach down, touch a young person's heart, change their direction for all eternity. There's just nothing like that. I was preaching over in a church on Sunday afternoon. I preached at Doc's place Sunday morning. You know, the big church there and big attendance and stuff like that. But on Sunday night, he said, you know, Brother Wells, there's a guy that you influenced many years ago. And I think if you would go and preach in his church, boy, I tell you, it would just make his day. And I said, okay. He said, one of our graduates, he's been there now for about 17 years or so. He said, why don't you go and preach in his church? I said, that'd be fine. And so they picked me up, and I went over and preached in his church. There's another preacher that came in that night. He said, boy, I remember the night you preached the sermon back in 2006. He said, that's the night I walked the aisle, surrendered to preach. I've been pastoring now myself for 7 years. Now, wait a minute. He caught a vision of what God would have him to do, and he stepped out, and he labored. I was preaching someplace, and a girl flew over from Cambodia, and she remembered the day I went to preach in Cambodia one day, and all of a sudden she walked the aisle as a teenage girl, as a Cambodian young lady, and she flew all the way from Cambodia over to the Philippines just to say thank you. Years ago, under a sermon, I surrendered my life to Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to know that God has called me over to Africa. So here's what she did. Left Cambodia, came to the Philippines, said thank you, on her way to heading to Africa as a missionary. Can I tell you, you never know who God's going to touch. You never know who God is going to raise up in your Sunday school class, on your bus route, maybe somebody you lead to Christ out soul winning one day. You just never know God's plan for their life. I look at my life, and to me, I look at it, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. Raised in a Roman Catholic home, heard the gospel, a clear presentation, maybe many times, as the people that raised me watched Billy Graham often. So no doubt I heard the gospel several times, but never was buttonholed. Nobody ever set me down and said, let's talk about you. Nobody ever did that. Then I was in that carnival ground, and that teenage boy, 16 years of age, stopped me, clean-cut looking kid, and he stopped me, and he said, what about you? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? That night prior, I never will forget, I was praying. The priest came over the house. Him and my dad got drunk. They went down to the wet bar. They got drunk. I heard them downstairs in the pool room, and I was listening to them. They were saying things back and forth, dirty stuff and stuff like that. And I said, boy, there's got to be more to it than this. This is a holy man of the cloth. It doesn't match up. There's got to be more to it than this. Never will forget, God did something that night to me. I pushed that window up on a July evening, and I cried out to God. I said, God, if there's more to it than this, show me. There's got to be more to it than this. This is a forest. I'd go down into St. Bartholomew's Catholic Church, and after we served the Lord's Supper, I watched my priest over and over again take the rest of the wine and drink it down. I said, there's got to be more to it than this. I mean, if this is all there is, this is nothing. This is just pure religion that's not even pure. There's got to be more to it than this. We're not putting on a show. God, if you're real, you change lives. I know. I've seen people that say that they're Christians and stuff like that. There's something different. I don't know what they've got. I don't know how to become something like that. But there's got to be more to it than this. Never will forget. Prayed that night and said, God, if there's more to it than this, please show me, reveal yourself. Boy, that next night I was walking along in that carnival ground, minding my own business. That teenage boy stopped me and asked me if I knew for sure if I died I'd go to heaven, and I was giving him honest answers. I said, if anybody's going to go to heaven, I'm going. I'm going. I've not murdered anybody. I thought that was pretty good. Hadn't cursed anybody out. At least I did not think so lately. Never drank, never smoked, never doped. And he said, well, so what do you think you need to do to go to heaven? I said, man, I'm a good guy. God's going to take all my good deeds one day, put them on one side of the scale. Bad deeds, that's what the average person thinks. Put them on the other side of the scale. My good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. I'm in. He said, but do you know you're in? Do you know? He pressed the issue. Do you know? He pressed the issue. Do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Well, you know, I don't think anybody can. No. He said, oh, yes, you can. We have a Bible that God gave us. He opened the scripture, showed me how I could know. Wasn't too long after that, 18-year-old boys bowing his heart, receiving Christ as Savior. Hey, listen, I've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved, personally get saved. Can I tell you, listen, you just never know. You never know who you're going to lead to Christ and what they're going to do. You just never know how God is going to reach down, touch somebody, use somebody. Might be that they'll write a book one day, save somebody's life, help somebody make a decision. You just never know what God's going to do. I'm saying this. I'm saying there is the while travailing. I remember going to Bible college, and every Friday I'd go up to the weight room, and I'd ask Brother Appleby. That was his name. He was the guy that was the dean of men, Brother Appleby. And I said, Brother Appleby, I don't want to lift weights. I don't want to do it. Just want to go up there from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 2 hours every Friday. I want to go up there and pray for mom and daddy to get saved. That's all I want to do. Mom and daddy's lost. They're going to burn in hell. Just want to go up there and pray for them, dedicate that time. Now, I'll pray for them for the week, but that time's dedicated, 2 hours of just begging God. I never will forget, went up there and prayed, and then all of a sudden heard the squeaking door open one night. See, I'm talking about travailing. You know, there is pain, there is suffering while travailing. I was up there travailing one night, heard the door squeak, knew somebody was coming in, thought I was in trouble. I was praying over by the window. I ignored it. Matter of fact, got down, crunched down just a little bit more. And all of a sudden, here comes this long, lanky man. His name was Gary O'Neill. Gary O'Neill bent down beside me, put his arm on me, and he said, you're praying for your mom and daddy, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, let me pray with you. He started crying, started weeping, started praying for my mom and dad. I didn't know this guy. He started praying for mom and dad, praying that they would get saved. When he got done praying, he's wiping the tears off of his face, pats me on the back, and said, I'll see you later. Mom and dad, one day, Mike's going to get saved. He'd walk out. Every Friday, he would come up there and travail with me. Every Friday. I'd go up, I'd be there at 10. He'd walk in about 10:30 after he got off work. You hear the door squeak open. He did that for years. For years. By the way, this is the guy I couldn't stand. This is the guy that would come and sit across from me. This is the guy nobody wanted to be around sometimes. And yet this is the guy that chose to pray with me. Guess who was best man in my wedding? Gary O'Neill. Can I tell you, listen, there's wild travailing. I thank God that we have a wild travailing church. I thank God that I don't serve a people that are self-centered. I thank God that I serve with a people that want to serve Jesus Christ. I serve with the people. Hey, we're in it together. We sacrifice together. We go forward together. We balance the scales together. You know, can I say this? There's the before travailing. There's the while travailing. Let me give you one more statement. I'm done. There's after travailing. After travailing. Listen to your Bible. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible says, my children, it says, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So after a child is born, after a ministry is born, the travail does not stop. Man, you still pray. You still pray. When I came, we had three or four buses that was running. I'd come up as buses are pulling off the parking lot. I still come up as buses are pulling off the parking lot. What is that? That's called travailing. Travailing. Years ago, I'd have the counseling lines where I'd take and counsel people Sunday night after church and sometimes leave at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, helping people with their burns, with their problems, with their struggles. Hey, there's still times I leave at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Still the travailing. Still the travailing. So there's the after travailing. The after travailing, once something is birthed, you still got to give it attention. We had a college student here, and I never will forget, all of a sudden, motor burned up. I said, man, did you put oil in it? Just put oil in it? You know, you got to treat the motor right for the motor to treat you right. It's got to be travailing, travailing. Look, my car, I came home, man, it's all dusty, needs a good old-fashioned Texas wash. All right, now wait a minute. Hey, so tomorrow, one of the things I've got on my agenda is wash that old truck. I'm just not going to be able to look at it and it go away. It's got to be travailing, travailing. I was walking beside one of her college students. He said, preacher, I got a burden. Don't know what to do with it. Need to talk to somebody. And I think, you're it. Can I talk to you? I said, absolutely, let's talk. And I travailed with him. Different ones can travail, but it's after the travailing that it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You know, we don't have perfect children. Not a one of them is perfect. You know, can I tell you, after they were born, we went through the travail as they were little bitty kids, and then they came up through the primary, and then the junior department, junior high department, senior high department, college department. Now three of the boys are married, and Rebecca's on hold. Can I tell you, listen, what is that? That's travailing. That's travailing. I was talking to Rebecca, and I said, hey, honey, there's a couple boys interested in you right now, and some of these fellas are pretty good fellas, and what do you think about that? She said, not much. She said, I'm just going to wait. She said, I want to finish college, keep my priorities right, because I know if I get involved with a guy, I'll probably drop college, and I just want to make sure I graduate. Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I tell our kids, hey, listen, don't be too quick to get involved with something. I remember I told Mrs. Wells when we were dating, I said, I've got one problem. I see too many people getting married and dropping out of school. Yeah. Get married, they say, well, I'll finish it. I've got the character. And then they don't. Yeah. I said, I've just seen it too many times. I said, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to graduate before we get married. If I don't graduate, we don't get married. By the way, we send out invitations by faith. I think I graduated on a Friday and we got married on a Saturday. Now, I already knew I was going to graduate, but I'm saying I wanted to finish the course. I wanted to finish the course. I think sometimes here's what we do. We get in a hurry to get what we want now. Give me what I want right now. And if you give me what I want right now, I'll be satisfied. You'll only be satisfied for just a little while because the now doesn't last very long. Okay, I'm saying this, after the travailing, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 27, the Bible says that it is written, rejoice, it says, thou barren, it says, thou bearest not. It says, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. It says, listen to it now, it says that there is a desolate, hath many more children, which she hath a husband. All right, now wait a minute. So he said this. He said, here's what you need to understand. There's times of travailing, but then after travailing, the blessing comes. But you cannot determine how long you're going to travail. You have no idea. My mama was the first one to get saved after me in the house. Can I tell you, mama got saved after, I'm talking about as far as mom and dad is concerned, boys got saved first, but in the house, mom and dad, mom was the first one to get saved rather than dad. Then all of a sudden, mom dies of cancer, dad hit bottom. When dad hit bottom, all of a sudden his world completely opened up. He began to review his life. And there was a man that was a former Roman Catholic fellow, went to school with him many years ago, stopped by my daddy's house, led my daddy to Christ. Can I tell you, that was years and years and years and years and years and years and years after I got saved. I remember my wife leading my younger brother Joe to Christ in Brooklyn, New York, sitting on the sofa. He came up to visit. She got him, led him to Christ. I remember me leading my brother Mark to Christ, was the only relative, came to our wedding on my side of the family. Mark flew down, came to our wedding, and I was late for the rehearsal because I was leading Mark to Christ outside underneath a pine tree. I remember mom getting saved, telling me about it, and dad getting saved, telling me about it. Older brother, however, he held out. Man, trying to lead Dave to Christ, went after him and went after him. I remember one time he was locked up in jail. I went after him and gave him a gospel tract. He wadded it up, threw it back at me, spit in my face, said, I want nothing to do with your God. I said, Dave, I love you, but that's going to change. There will be a day when you realize you need God. There will be a day when you come to the end of your rope and you're going to realize that Christ is the answer. Never will forget, Sean got saved. That's his son. Sean got saved, started serving God. Dave started to notice a difference in Sean's life. He quit this, quit this, quit this, quit this. He started watching, started staring, started inquiring. And after a long time, he sat down with his son, Sean, said, Sean, I need what you got. Show me how to get it. Bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. They said that after Dave got saved, he became a fanatic. I believe it. Now, I saw his car. Jesus said, repent or perish. You're going to burn today. Turn or burn. I mean, all the sudden, yeah, he's got all these things. Had a face of the devil on the back of his vehicle. Said, the devil's after you. Run to Christ. I mean, he was just putting it out there everywhere he could. You say, why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he knew from whence he came. He knew what God did in his life. His daughters and his sons said, as I witnessed to them at the table, they said, when your brother Dave got saved, he took a 380. I mean, he spun all the way around. But instead of going back to the drugs and going back to the alcohol and going back to all that, he went back after the people he was running with. And instead of going over to get the booze, he's shoving gospel tracts down their throat. He's telling them, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. People thought he had flipped. Yeah, he had for Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's amazing how people change. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, last verse I'll read. The Bible says, for if these things be in you, what things? The truth. But if these things be in you and abound, says that they make that ye should neither, it says, be barren or unfruitful. It says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want you to be barren. I don't want you to be unfruitful. And the way to do that is to be knowledgeable in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God says the more we know about him, by the way, the more we'll love him. The more we love him, the more we'll obey him. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. When you taste, I love Filipino food. Mrs. Hart, keep that in mind, if you will. Brother, Mrs. O, keep that in mind. I love Filipino food. Isn't it just so good? You know, Filipinos, they eat rice with everything. They eat rice with everything. You know, you have rice in the morning, you have rice at noon, you have rice at evening time, and rice at midnight. I mean, it's just rice. You know, fish, the sushi? Yeah, go over there, get the raw fish, put it on rice, just good stuff. Okay, and dip it in sauce, it's hot, man, just good stuff. You feel like you've died and went to heaven. If you get bad sushi, you'll die and go to heaven. But, man, you know, in the morning time, we stayed, Doc put us up in a pretty nice hotel, and we stayed in a hotel, and we go down in the morning time. Man, Brother Walters, I never seen a man that could eat like Brother Walters. I mean, he'd get a plate, he'd eat that up, he said, man, this is good. And he's rejoicing over every bite. Man, this is good. And he went back. He said, what'd you do? Well, I'm not going to be left alone. I followed. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, just good stuff. But you know, all that stuff comes by travail. Travail. I was heading to a couple's house. They've gone through some struggles. I was heading to a couple's house, and they said this. They said, Pastor, as you eat lunch with us today, we just don't have much. We just don't have much. And I said, hey, that's great. Now I'm just honored to be with you. Just what a thrill. I'm just honored to be with you. And so we sat down, we ate soup together, we fellowshipped, we had a great time together. You know, it's not that you have to have the lavish meals. We arrived there, late a Friday night, really early Saturday morning, and everybody was watching Trump's inauguration so much that they forgot to pick us up at the airport. So, you know, and I called and said, what are you doing? Man said, watching Trump's inauguration. I said, we're at the airport. You know, and of course, you know, a driver came and stuff like that. Hey, and that's pretty neat. Got picked up, went to the hotel, able to enjoy a great night's sleep after I watched part of the inauguration at 3 o'clock in the morning, able to enjoy a great night's sleep. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, watch, listen to me. There's the travail. Next morning, got up, went to dedicate a house, two couples. A lot of times in the Philippines, they will, if they're going to build a house, they'll build it by flats, you know, levels. And maybe a brother and sister, or maybe a brother and a brother, or maybe mom and dad, or maybe a new married couple, they'll live on one flat, and then they build up and they'll have another flat. Then they have another flat, maybe another flat. And so we visited a house, the two contractors, you know, built a house, and it was three flats up. You know, and it was two brothers and then a brother and a wife, a brother and a wife that shared that. And of course, downstairs they had what they called the general room and a nice pool outside. So they wanted me to come and be a part of the rejoicing of them having their house dedicated. Hey, can I tell you, when you stay with the Lord, you would be amazed at some of the things that God could do in your life. You'd absolutely be amazed. And you can take something and make it into something great. Did you know that? You know, God has blessed our family with daughter-in-laws. Amen. Yeah. And they know how to decorate. That's neat. You know, I've watched them decorate their homes and stuff like that. I watched Jared's wife, Debbie, move into a bachelor pad. He bought the house before he got married. She has transformed that thing. I mean, you drive up, and it's got like a red or burgundy door. It's there. You can see it. Beautiful decoration on the outside. You walk inside. Walls are decorated. Everything is in order. You know, just precise. Really, really, really neat. You know, you can take what God gives you, and if you take good care of it, God will bless you with more. You ever get around, I'm done. You ever get around somebody and you just like being around them? I mean, they got one of these personalities that's a draw. I'm not talking about like a magnet that every time you get close to them, they cause you to bounce away, you know. And but you know, there's just something about the draw. You know, they might not have a spectacular personality, but it's something that's soothing, or it's something that's encouraging, or it's something that helps you, ministers to you, serves you. It's inviting to you. You ever get around somebody like that? St. John Hong. He was over in the Philippines. He just married a Filipino girl. Her name is Joy. Got married. You know, Saint comes up to me, is attending the conference there, and he said, "Preacher, we've known each other since I was 9, and I remember when Saint was in Bible college, another Bible college, he called me up, and he said, 'Preacher, I don't think I'm saved.'" And I remember taking the Bible and talking to Saint over the phone, and he bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. You know, now he's preparing to go back to Thailand, become a missionary, go and plant churches in Bangkok. You know, can I tell you, you just never know who you're going to influence. You just never know. You never know who's going to turn out. Had a kid in the youth department many years ago, shy, backward, inward. I thought, man, he's not going to amount to anything. Nothing. You know, he's now pastoring a church. Had another girl, introvert. She has now passed her law degree in 3 different states. She's passed the bar. You know, and Amy is doing absolutely outstanding. And I said, "How's it going?" She said, "Preacher, anytime you need a lawyer, I'm here." I said, "That's great." You never know who you're going to influence. Man, I remember this one girl getting saved, and now she's a dentist. And she said, "Preacher, if you ever need dental work, I'm here." I said, "That's great." Now, isn't it great to see God work in people's lives? Amen. Isn't that great? And God can do that. What's it take? Before travailing, while travailing, after travailing. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.